Our scripture reading this morning will come from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from John chapter 14. And we'll be reading from the first 14 verses. And it is found on page 938 and 39 of your pew Bibles. So let us listen to God's word for us. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that? I go to prepare a place for you, and when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you will ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Those are part of the comforting words that we hear in the iconic reading from John this morning. Comforting words, soothing words. In many respects, we are taking another step backward in our scripture reading from John's Gospel. Instead of reading about the life of Jesus after the resurrection, the reading this morning takes place on Maundy Thursday. It takes place during the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples before the crucifixion and before his subsequent resurrection. It is during the supper that Jesus gives his disciples one last command. This is my commandment. He tells them, love one another. It is also during the supper that he washes their feet as a symbolic gesture of service that they are to show to one another. We can imagine that maybe there is an air of festivity as suppers sometimes have, particularly on special occasions. But we might also note that there is trouble in the air. The Lord himself is no doubt troubled because he knows that his crucifixion is looming, and the next day he will be hanging from the cross on Golgotha. But his disciples are also troubled. They are troubled because Jesus has told them that he will be going away and that he will be leaving them. He had been a continued presence in their midst for 3 years, guiding them, leading them, teaching them, comforting them. But now he tells them that he is leaving them, and they are troubled. How in the world will we be able to survive without Jesus? How will we be able to go on without Jesus in our midst? And so their hearts are troubled and their spirits are vexed. But it's in the midst of their pain and their disappointment that Jesus utters the words, those iconic words that many of us know so well, words that have soothed our own hearts and comforted all of us in our own troubled moments. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. The Greek word translated believe is probably best rendered as trust. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I like that translation a little better because trust is a more relational word than believe. That's what I believe Jesus is actually saying. Whatever your anxieties, whatever your worries, whatever may be causing you concern, whatever may be keeping you up at night, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. John 14 is often read at funerals. We are reminded that during funerals that we can trust in the Lord, even in the face of death, especially in the face of death, because not even the power of death itself can separate us from the love of God. It cannot separate us from the love of God because Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, a wonderful place, a glorious place, a beautiful place when our time here on earth is over. That's what the Lord himself says. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. There are many dwelling places, and I am going to prepare a place for you. And where I am, you will be also. I still remember one of my favorite hymns as a young boy, a hymn that we used to sing in church. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where I'll never grow old. And one day yonder, I will never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold. That's what Jesus is telling us this morning, that he is going to prepare a home, a house, a dwelling place for all of us. A home, a house that not even death itself can foreclose on. Believe that, says Jesus, trust that. Death is not the last word. The good news is that I have gone to prepare a place for you. But this text is not just about where we are going when we die. It's not just about where we will spend the afterlife. The good news is also that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us to move into right now. He has gone to prepare a place for us to dwell in right now, in the midst of this world, in the midst of this world with all of its pain and all of its problems. Jesus has gone to prepare a home for all of us. It is a place of joy, a place of peace, a place of love, a place of abundance, because it is a place that exists in the very heart and presence of God. So Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled, but trust. Trust. That's the operative word here, of course, trust. Whom can we trust? Whom should we trust? Can we trust our families? Can we trust our friends? Can we trust our neighbors, our co-workers? Can we trust politicians? Can we trust public officials? Can we even trust ourselves? Whom can we trust? Jesus tells us two things here in our passage. He tells us many things, but two things that I want to emphasize here this morning. First of all, he tells us that we can trust in God. Don't let your hearts be troubled, but trust in God. We can trust in God because God is the Creator God who loves us, who cares for each and every one of us. That's what Jesus means when he calls God Father in our passage. Jesus refers to God as Father 13 times in this passage that we read this morning. And in Jesus' day, fathers were responsible for the care and the nurture and the guidance of their children. And that's what Jesus is saying, that God is like a loving, caring, nurturing father. Jesus actually uses the word Abba. God is like a daddy. He refers to God in the most intimate way. Abba, daddy, father. But today, without casting any dispersions towards fathers, we might say that God is like a mother. A loving, caring, nurturing mother. Who in the world can be trusted more than a loving, caring, nurturing mother? I realize, of course, that not all mothers are good, that not all mothers are loving, that not all mothers are nurturing. But the exception only goes to prove the rule. When we think of mothers, when we think of motherhood, what comes to mind is someone who sacrifices for us, someone who loves us, someone who cares for us, not only when we are well behaved, but also when we're not so well behaved. Someone who only wants the best for us and goes out of their way to make the best possible for us. When we think of mothers, we think of someone who goes to prepare a place for us, prepares a home for us, prepares a table for us, prepares a room for us, prepares a life for us. Someone who loves us and cares about us. I was raised by my mother, a single mother. My mother and father were divorced when I was still in grade school. And my mother raised us, all seven of us. And it was difficult. There were difficult times. But no matter how difficult life was, I always knew that I had one advantage. I always knew that my mother loved me and cared for me. I knew that my mother loved me more than anything and would do anything for me. And so I give thanks this morning for my mother. I can't even imagine what it might be like not to have a loving, caring, nurturing mother. The truth is, I had lots of mothers. My mother had seven sisters, and they all lived in the area, and my mother was close to her sisters, my aunties, and all of them I considered as a mother to me. Someone who loved me and cared for me and looked out for me. But it wasn't just my aunties, it was the people at church too. I remember the mothers that I had in the congregation, the small congregation I grew up in. I remember the elder sister rule, an elderly lady who watched over me and helped put me on the right path. I sometimes disappointed her, but she was there for me, loving me, caring for me, even wanting to send me to a church Bible college in Memphis. I went to the Army instead, but she cared for me and loved me. I remember the elder sister Reese, who taught me Sunday school, me and my brothers. She took the time to teach me the Bible, especially the Old Testament, We went through the Bible reading the stories of Israel, and I became an Israelite. But it was because of her, because she had taken the time, this elderly woman in her late 70s at the time, taking the time to teach me Sunday school, but she was a mother to me. But I had lots of mothers, and it was because of those mothers that I was able to be what I am today. Who can be trusted more than a loving, caring mother? And Jesus says that's what God is like. You can trust God because God is like a loving parent. God is like a loving father. God is like a loving mother. And so I give God thanks for all of those who have been a mother to me and all the mothers in the midst of this congregation as well. But Jesus also says that we can trust him. Do not let your hearts be troubled, but trust in God, but trust also in me. Jesus reminds us that he not only goes to prepare a place for us, but he reminds us that he is the way to the place that he has prepared for us. He is the way. That's what Jesus himself says. I am the way and the truth and the life. It is the sixth time that Jesus has used the divine name, I am. I am that I am, the divine name that God gave to Moses. Jesus has said earlier that I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. And now he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. You cannot have the life that Jesus came to bring us without the Jesus truth. And you cannot have the Jesus truth without walking the Jesus way. And we all know what the Jesus way is. The Jesus way is the way of self-giving love. It is walking the way of the cross, the way of self-giving love, the way of sacrificial giving. That's the way that Jesus walked. And that is the way that Jesus calls all of us to walk as well. We often use that portion of scripture to beat other people over the head, especially those who may not share our faith, that there's only one way to God. That's the way of Jesus. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and he is the only way. We often use that text against others. But oftentimes we're not quite sure what that text means. What does it mean to say Jesus is the way? We're not quite sure about that ourselves. I was watching on YouTube this week a man on a beach verbally assaulting a Muslim family because they were there on the beach verbally assaulting them with religious and racial epithets. We don't want your Sharia law here, he said. My Christianity is more important than your Sharia law. But in that man's actions, he proved that he didn't know the way of Jesus. Because the way of Jesus is the way of love. Could never imagine Jesus on the beach saying that to anybody. I can never imagine Jesus following the ways that we sometimes follow and believe that we are doing the work of God and living the life of God. The way of Jesus is the way of the cross. It is the way of love, self-giving love. It is the way that we see in the life of so many people who love us, including our mothers. And what could be more self-giving, more sacrificial than the way of our mothers? Jesus says, you can trust me. You can trust me because I am the way to the life of God. Jesus says something else, too, in this passage that is profound. He says, if you've seen the Father, you have seen me. If you've seen me, you have seen God. If you know me and have seen me and have listened to me, you have seen God. That's a profound statement to make. In Jesus' day, that would have gotten him stoned. That in Jesus, to see Jesus is to see God. Everything that Jesus did, he was saying that this is God. In the healing of people, this is God. In associating himself with prostitutes and tax collectors, he was saying, this is God. This is how God acts. God is not the kind of God that wants to separate God's self from people, but God is the kind of God who comes out and embraces all people, especially those people who are most in need of it, those who are sinners. Jesus was saying, this is God. When Jesus healed people, he was saying that this is God. You are looking at God. You are examining and observing the heart of God. And I would say the same thing, that whenever we see love in action, we are seeing the face of God. Whether it's the love that we experience here in the midst of our community, or whether it's the love that we experience in the midst of our families, the love that we receive from our parents, from our fathers, from our mothers, whenever we experience love, we are experiencing and observing the face of God. I know that many of you are here today because your hearts are also troubled. Even on this beautiful day in Eastertide, even on this wonderful day, this Mother's Day, I know some of your hearts are troubled. Some of you may be troubled because of what is going on in the larger world in which we live. You watch the news, you read the papers, and you are troubled by what is going on in our world, in our country, in our communities. Some of you are troubled by what is going on in your personal lives. Your lives are filled with anxiety because you're experiencing emotional and financial turbulence. Some of you are troubled because you've received disturbing news that threatens to disrupt your lives and the lives of your families. We're all troubled. To be human is to be troubled. But the word of the Lord this morning is the same word that he had for his earliest disciples. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Trust in the gift of love wherever you see it, wherever you see it in the world, wherever you see it in your own lives, wherever you see it embracing you, in your hearts, in the hearts of your loved ones and friends, in the hearts of your mothers. Accept the gift of love. Have faith in the way of love. Because when you have faith in the way of love, you have faith in the way of God. Because that's the way that Jesus came to show us. And it's the heart of love that Jesus comes to take us. To the heart of love. To the very heart of God. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in that. Trust in that. Know that God loves you and cares for you, and that God wants to take you home to the very heart of God, God's self, right now, in the midst of this world, in the midst of all that you are going through. God loves you. Come home to God, the God of love. who has all of us in the palm of his loving hands. Let us pray. Gracious God, on this Mother's Day that you have permitted us to gather, we ask that you help us to see who you are. Help us to see the face of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to see your great love for each and every one of us. Lord, we often move through the world giving ourselves to all kinds of other ways. Ways of power, ways that we think bring success, ways of selfishness, ways of indifference. But you have called us to follow the one who is the way and the truth and the life. You have called us to follow the way of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the way of love. And so we ask, Lord, that you help us to be brought home to yourself. Help us to live as your community, as your loving and giving and sharing people in all that we do, so that the world might be able to see you through each and every one of us, through how we live and how we love and how we serve one another and serve the world that you have called us to serve. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.